We are beginning a new canto, canto 11, on the kingdoms and godheads of the greater mind. We have just completed the mind of thought, mind of reason, the mind of the intellect, and in the ascent of Ashwapati, there seized the limits of the laboring power. The laboring power of the thinking mind stops at a certain level in the gradations of existence. But being and creation ceased not there, simply because the laboring power of the mind has stopped working at a particular level. It does not mean that all existence, all creation also stop there. For thought transcends the circles of mortal mind. It is greater than its earthly instrument. The reason mind is only an instrument. The real power, the real sovereign, is the thought, the higher thought, which goes beyond the movements of the mortal mind. And what is this thought? Mark that the thought is capital thought, not the human thought. The Godhead crammed into mind's narrow space escapes on every side into some vast, that is a passage to infinity. Thought by itself is so wide, so large, that even when it uses the reasoning mind as its instrument, it has to cramp itself into the narrow space of that mind, and in the process it bursts and escapes on all sides into some vastness. Which vastitude is a passage to infinity? That is a hint that before you can step into infinity, you have to enlarge your consciousness and familiarize yourself with the vastness that is around us. This thought moves eternal in the spirit's field. It is eternal in the field of the spirit, not in the field of matter or life as they stand today. A runner towards the far spiritual light. Thought is a runner towards the spiritual light, a child and servant of the spirit's force. Thought is a master using the instrument of the reasoning mind, but itself it is a child, it is a product, it is a server of the force of the spirit. But mind too falls back from a nameless peak. Even the higher mind does not reach the supreme heights. It falls back from a peak which shall be nameless because it is ineffable. There is a passage in the Mundaka Upanishad which describes how yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. Speech and mind fall back from it without reaching their end objective. It is beyond the reach of the speech and the mind. It escapes the hold of mind and speech. But mind too falls back from a nameless peak, peak of the spirit. His being stretched beyond the sight of thought. The range of thought, as wide as it is, Ashwapati's being extends beyond the farthest vision of his thought. For the spirit is eternal and unmade, and not by thinking was its greatness born. Spirit is interior to the mind. The greatness of the spirit is not due to the efforts of the mind thinking, and not by thinking can its knowledge come. Knowledge of the spirit, knowledge of the eternal, it cannot come by thinking about it. Thinking can only clarify, prepare the passage, reflect the higher knowledge. But the knowledge of the spirit, the knowledge of the truth, can come by other means. Knowledge by identity in consciousness. So here are two memorable lines. And not by thinking was its greatness born, and not by thinking can its knowledge come. It knows itself, and in itself it lives. The spirit has self-knowledge. It does not need the instrumentation of mental knowledge to be aware of itself. And it lives in itself. The spirit is self-existent. It does not need any outer forms in which to dwell. It moves where no thought is, nor any form. Its feet are steadied upon finite things. Padhyam prithivi, earth is his footing. That is the Upanishad. The spirit in manifestation bases itself on the foundations of the spirit. Its feet are steadied upon finite things. Its wings can dare to cross the infinite. But it has wings on which it can fly, it can soar into the infinite above. Now, about Ashwapati. Arriving into his ken, a wonder space, as he ascends, a wonderful space, an extension, which is a wonder by itself, it moves into his vision, wonder space of great and marvelous meetings called his steps. That space where many great and marvelous things meet, it invited his steps. And that wonder space is where thought leaned on a vision beyond thought. Thought functions not by the faculty of thinking, but by the faculty of vision, sight. That is not thinking but sight, revelation, illumination. And that is beyond thought. Thought is the final process of an operation of consciousness which has vision. It visions things. It views things as they are. And thought supports itself on that vision and lean and shape the world from the unthinkable, from something which is unthinkable, which is beyond thought. Because of this faculty of vision, relying upon it, thought is able to build a world such as ours on peaks imagination cannot tread, on those high summits where human imagination cannot walk, in the horizons of a tireless sight, where the only thing that functions is vision, vision, and it is tireless. That vision does not need to wink. It is steady. Under the blue veil of eternity, blue to indicate spiritual consciousness, under a blue sky, which is a veil as it were, from the sight from below and what is above, and that sky is of eternity. The splendors of ideal mind were seen. In this wonder space, the splendors of ideal mind, not thought mind, not higher mind, but something still higher, ideal mind, where things are in their ideal state, thoughts have their ideal forms. The splendors of ideal mind were seen, outstretched across the boundaries of things known. All the things that are known have a boundary beyond which they become vague. And beyond that boundary, the reign of the ideal mind starts. Origin of the little that we are, we think we are a vast world, a vast universe, but we are really a very little fragment, a portion. Origin of the little that we are, instinct with the endless more that we must be. There is much more that we have to grow into. There is much more that we have to embody in ourselves. And this ideal mind is instinct with that potential which is seeking to embody itself in us. A prop of all that human strength enacts, all that human power brings into shape, place out. Now this ideal mind is the prop, is the supporting ground. Creator of hopes by earth unrealized, an ideal is generally a hope. It is yet to be realized. When an ideal is realized, it becomes an actual. Till then, it remains in the high above, inspiring us, drawing us towards its realization. And it creates in us the hope, the will, the aspiration to render it into an actuality. So this ideal mind, creator of hopes by earth unrealized, it spreads beyond the expanding universe. Our universe itself is expanding. And even beyond this universe, this ideal mind spreads. Expanding universe. Here is another concept very special to the teaching of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. Because in most of the other teachings, the universe is fixed. It is a proposition that has been created by God or by Maya, but it is there set in a scheme. But Mother says that this universe is at every moment expanding. Not only is it expanding in size, but at every moment everything is in a process of constant reorganization to meet the demands of the expansive movement from outside. So you will see that she conceives of this world as a twofold movement of change. Expansion from outside, constantly expanding, and when this expansion takes place, it has an inevitable pressure on the particles, or whatever you may call it, in each form, constituting each form. And they reorganize themselves, readjust themselves. So nothing is fixed. And this perception of hers is being corroborated by the latest discoveries of science, which point to a continuous readjustment from within and an incessant enlargement from without. That is how you can explain the expanding population of the universe. Though it is true that every moment people are dying, and the souls in those bodies recede into non-manifestation for the time being, still the number grows. They ask, how can they? Mother explains that every moment new elements come into being from the Supreme, new souls are being put out. New sparks of consciousness emanate. And it is a constant movement. So there is no fixity, no absoluteness about anything in this universe. Now he says, it spreads beyond the expanding universe. Expanding universe is a key to one side of his philosophy. It wings beyond the boundaries of dream. When we dream, we extend the frontiers of our physical universe. We go into regions which are not in the physical scheme. Even of that realm of dream, the boundaries are exceeded by the ideal mind. It overtops the ceiling of life soar. Life can soar high and very high and reach a high ceiling. But this ideal mind is beyond the highest ceiling of life. Awake in a luminous sphere, unbound by thought, ideal mind, which is high above the thought mind, it is not limited, not bounded by thought, but it is awake in its own luminous sphere, exposed to omniscient immensities, immensities, vastitudes, which are omniscient, which are all-knowing, without the effort of the laboring intelligence, there is a self-existent knowledge. And to those omniscient immensities, this realm of the ideal mind is exposed. It casts on our world its great crown influences. This ideal mind indeed exerts certain influences on our world, and those influences are great crowned ones, sovereign, crowned to indicate kingship, certain sovereignty. Its speed outstrips the ambling of the hours. Ambling, it is a slow movement, this way and that. But the speed of the ideal mind is faster than the movement of the hours of time. Its force that strides invincibly through time. Time doesn't obstruct, the flow of time doesn't slow down, but the force of this ideal mind strides victoriously after half an hour. You tell half an hour. Its force that strides invincibly through time, its might that bridge the gulf twixt man and God, its powers, its strength, bridge the gulf between man and God. But for the hopes raised by the very existence of these ideals, but for the influences exerted from the kingly heights by the ideal mind forces, the gulf between man and God would remain unbridged. It's lights that combat ignorance and death. The various lights that issue from this ideal mind fight ignorance, fight death, and conjure visions of knowledge, visions of immortality. In its vast ambit of ideal space, an ideal mind functions in an ideal space, where beauty and mightiness walk hand in hand, unlike in our physical world, where beauty and mightiness are invariably separate. But in this ideal space, where beauty and mightiness walk hand in hand, the Spirit's truth take form as living gods. The various truths, the many truths of the Spirit that want to manifest, take form as living gods. Each truth becomes a god. A god is a luminous form of the Supreme. And each can build a world in its own right. Each God, who is a manifestation of the truth of the Supreme, can build a world in its own right. And we can get to see this organization of the separate worlds of each God, each truth, as God, only in the over-mental plane, over-mind world, where we see each idea, each truth, each possibility pursuing its possibility or potentiality to the utmost. I think that's the place where we should stop. The next sentence is very long. So here, this is the ideal mind. It casts on our world its great crowned influences, its speed that outstrips the ambling of the hours, its force that strides invincibly through time, its mights that bridge the gulf twixt man and God, its lights that combat ignorance and death. In its vast ambit of ideal space, where beauty and mightiness walk hand in hand, the Spirit's truths take form as living gods, and each can build a world in its own right. In the ideal mind, each truth has power to shape and form its own separate world based on its principle. It is the world of the many, but many truths.